open up the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development. This morning it is Tuesday, June 7th, 2005. What we are going to do is recess until 9 a.m., at which time we will open up a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2001 relating to audits. So until 9 a.m., we're going to be recessed.
I need to gavel after that.
Yes, thanks.
You got the note on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's again open up the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development. And we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2001, and it's our distinct pleasure to have the Speaker of the House with us, Karen Minnis. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Karen Minnis, Speaker of the House, representing House District 49. I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2001. House Bill 2001 will provide a key oversight function of our state agencies and programs, which Oregon is presently lacking. I want to discuss two major areas here in my testimony today: critical issues for Oregon's legislative branch, and what House Bill 2001 does and what it does not do. A publication from the National Conference of State Legislatures, NCSL, noted that there are many roles of the legislative branch any state plays in the course of carrying out its duties for its citizens: debating public policy, enacting laws, appropriating funds, etc. That publication noted that a fundamental role that most state legislatures have is oversight over government operations. As the report said, this accountability role is a critical part of our constitutional system of separation of powers and is essential to ensuring the trust that citizens place in government. House Bill 2001 brings Oregon's legislative branch into line with the agency oversight that most other state legislatures have. And House Bill 2001 does this while preserving the constitutional role of the Secretary of State as the auditor of public accounts. Let me tell you about some conversations I had at an NCSL meeting I attended. I met a gal from Tennessee, who is their the counterpart of Ken Rocco, who was astounded that in Oregon that we don't have an auditing function within the legislative branch and that we must depend on BAM and others to get our information as to what the numbers are. And they were... I came to understand that only a handful of states actually don't have a performance audit function within their legislative fiscal office, and they were kind of stunned that we could even operate without having an ability to go in and audit these accounts. Hearing these officials from the other states relate to me how vital they felt the role was for a state legislature convinced me that it was something we in Oregon Legislative Assembly needed to pursue. In our examination of what we currently have in Oregon, we saw a couple of key benefits of establishing a separate legislative audits office. We can focus on performance audits. The legislative audits office would conduct these special audits in a timely and efficient manner without having auditors retasked to other audit duties. As I have said, as I have heard, occurs now in the Secretary of State's audits, and we can do the same job at a lower cost. And I think Ken Rocco will be coming in to speak to that issue. In looking at present expenditures and personnel, a legislative audits office could perform similar duties on performance audits as is currently done, with fewer people and at a lower cost. Let me emphasize a few points that have been raised in prior testimony on this bill in the House Audits Committee and elsewhere. House Bill 2001 is not about politics, and it's not about redistricting, as has been alleged. That was the furthest thing from my mind. I brought this issue forward because I saw a lack of an ability for the legislative branch to get accurate numbers. And if you talk to our staff in the Legislative Fiscal Office, they believe it would help them derive better information if they have an ability to go into an agency and perform audits. So this was not some political payback. I believe this is good, sound public policy. And in the 20 years I've been in the around the Legislative Assembly, if there has been a glaring lack, it has been in our inability to receive timely information from state agencies. We're at the mercy of them. House Bill 2001 is about ensuring that our state agencies are doing what we and the Oregon Legislature direct them to do in accordance with the laws that we pass. One of the things that was raised, one of the issues that was raised by legislative fiscal, is sometimes we'll put in budget notes here in the Assembly or give direction in the Assembly that perhaps somebody in the Secretary of State's audits division is unaware of. And so when they do their audits, they don't have the same level of details and the same level of information that would help them in their in doing the audits. So just having kind of the background of what we did during the legislative session, and when they're auditing their performance, they would have a grasp of that information. House Bill 2001 accomplishes this while retaining the Secretary of State's key fiscal auditing duties as established in Article 4, Section 2 of the Oregon Constitution. Nothing in House Bill 2001 takes any constitutionally required duties of the Secretary of State. I understand legislative counsel is here, and we'll discuss this point further. We as elected representatives, both Democrats and Republicans, have a charge that is to make our government, to make sure our government is using taxpayers' money efficiently, effectively, and responsibly. House Bill 2001 will allow the Oregon Legislature to have the oversight authority it should have, which over half of the other states in this country have right now. It is my belief that House Bill 2001 will enable the legislature to better fulfill our duties as state legislators, along with providing more effective supervision of state government. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
I have a question, but may I for just a moment?
Of course, Representative Avakian.
You know, Speaker, thank you for that. And while some questions still remain in my mind with respect to either the legislature's authority or the appropriateness of relieving the Secretary of State of some of the current duties that that office has, I do really thank you for bringing forward a plan for the legislative branch of government and doing these deeper and broader audits. And, you know, because we've talked about it, that's something that I've been interested in as well. And this looks to me to be not just an enhancement of our financial auditing, which we do through the Ways and Means process, but a real check and balance that the agencies are performing the mission of the state that we identify, and so that the money is being spent in the manner it should be spent, not just that it's the appropriate amount, but that it's targeted towards the things that we want for Oregon. And that's a piece of our process that I've never seen in state government, and this is the first time I've seen a plan that addresses both financial auditing and the identification and the check on the mission of the state. And I just think it's an absolutely beautiful thing for the legislature. Whether or not that should affect the executive branch and the executive branch's duties or responsibilities is another question related to the bill that I would want to sort out more. But I thank you so much for giving that leadership within the legislative branch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
So thank you very much. It's an honor to have you on our committee.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
We're going to move next and have Ted come on up and walk through the components of House Bill 2001. And then after that, we're going to call the Secretary of State up. Welcome.
Good morning. For the record, Ted Reutlinger, Legislative Counsel's Office. Mr. Chair, would you like me to take you through the bill or to discuss the constitutional issues? Or
if you wouldn't mind, perhaps we could start with the components of House Bill 2001 and then move into the constitutional components
Okay.
after that.
basically, the main thing that House Bill 2001 does is create the office of the Director of the Legislative Audit Office. It directs that office to conduct program and management audits of state agencies. That's defined in the bill basically as agencies that whose costs are paid wholly or in part from funds held in the state treasury, in other words, state money. It gives the director subpoena authority to conduct those audits. It sets up all of the same provisions for the office that exist in the statutes now for offices such as the Legislative Fiscal Office, Legislative Revenue, Legislative Council. It also transfers the Government Waste Hotline from the Secretary of State's office to the new Director of the Legislative Audit Office. It basically transfers those statutes post-sale simply from the Secretary of State to the new Legislative Audit Office. And it makes other changes in the existing statutes to delete material that now relates to performance auditing conducted by the Secretary of State. Finally, it changes somewhat the composition of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee to 5 members of the House, 5 members of the Senate. It shifts the membership of the committee around just a little bit so that the chair of Ways and Means in the House and the Senate do not necessarily have to be members of that committee. That's it, basically, in a nutshell, a short description of the bill. As far as the constitutional issues go, we think that House Bill 2001, Ain-Crost, is constitutional for the following reasons. It raises constitutional issues because the Secretary of State, under the Oregon Constitution, is the auditor of public accounts. So the legislature cannot, by statute, restrict that authority. That's clear. The question becomes, what authority does the Secretary of State actually have under his auditing authority? The Attorney General has, through a series of opinions, determined that the Secretary's authority is limited to fiscal and financial auditing, that the Constitution doesn't provide an independent source of authority for independent performance program management audits conducted by the Secretary. The opinions say that authority to do that must come from the statutes. However, the opinions also say that in the context of conducting financial audits, that the Secretary of State can get into issues of performance. So, in other words, according to the Attorney General, the Constitution does allow the Secretary to engage in performance auditing as long as that's part of a financial or fiscal audit. So we think respectfully that House Bill 2001 is constitutional because it doesn't restrict or conflict with the Secretary of State's current authority to conduct fiscal financial audits. All it does is remove the independent statutory authority for the Secretary to conduct performance audits and transfer that to this new Legislative Audit Office.
Representative Ogden.
I want you to just assume something for a moment and then answer my question based on the assumption, if you could, that the state identifies the best way in order to do an audit of an agency is to be able to audit both the performance of the agency and then also the financial side, so that you could have a broader understanding of what the agency is actually doing. And that if somebody in charge of auditing cannot do, let's say the Secretary of State, cannot do the performance audit and can only do the financial, could that not hinder their ability to perform their constitutional duty at an optimum level?
Mr. Chair, Representative Avakian, that is close to a policy question, I think. But what I can say is that it's clear under the Attorney General opinions that the legislature may not restrict the Secretary of State's ability to conduct performance auditing to the extent that the Secretary believes that's necessary as part of a financial audit. In other words, the Secretary has authority that the legislature may not limit to do financial auditing. And as they are doing that, if they believe that performance auditing to some extent is necessary for them to fulfill their financial auditing responsibilities, then they can do that. This bill would not restrict the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State's ability to do that in any way.
And the standard, if I may, Mr. Chair,
please.
And the standard for concluding when that, where that line is drawn, rests with the Secretary of State, not with the legislature.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ocking, that's correct. The Attorney General opinions say that the Secretary has the sole discretion to determine what the Secretary needs to do to accomplish the Secretary's auditing responsibilities under the Constitution.
And if the may I?
Please.
And if the legislature were to pass a law restricting the Secretary of State's discretion in that manner, that would be unconstitutional.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ocking, I think that is true, yes. The legislature may not pass a law that restricts the Secretary's constitutional authority. The one difficulty with that statement is that there are no court decisions that interpret directly what the Secretary of State's authority is. There are, however, a series of Attorney General opinions, 5, 6, 7 different opinions, that lay out what the Attorney General thinks that authority is, and I believe that your statement would be consistent with what the Attorney General has opined.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ted, historically, wasn't there a legislative auditor at one point in time?
Mr. Chair, I heard that moments ago, and I'm not aware. I don't know the answer to that question.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. Any other questions for Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Secretary of State, come on up.
Mr. Commission, I'll be joined by Chuck Kibner, our deputy.
You know, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. May I ask one more? Mr. Secretary, I'm sorry, but may I ask one more question?
You bet.
Sorry
about that.
I'm sorry. We got you up and going. With respect to 297.070, which vests the ability to... in the Secretary of State to subpoena records as part of a performance audit. If this House Bill 2001 were to pass, then the Secretary of State would no longer have the ability to subpoena or in any other way compel information from an agency with regard to a performance audit. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ocking, I'm not sure that is correct because... the main statute in Chapter 297 that talks about the Secretary of State's audit authority is 297.210. That's the statute that gives the Secretary the authority to conduct, it implements the constitutional mandate for the Secretary of State to conduct audits of the financial affairs of state departments. And in that statute, the Secretary is given subpoena authority to compel the production of books and papers and the rendering of reports, et cetera. So that statute covers their current authority to conduct financial audits, and as we just discussed, those financial audits can also include to some extent performance auditing. So I believe that they still would have the subpoena authority that they need to conduct their constitutional auditing duties.
As long as within the discretion of the Secretary of State, Mr. Chair. As long as within the discretion of the Secretary of State, they're doing a performance audit because it's part and parcel of the financial audit that they need to do. And in that case, they would retain all of their authority to compel information from the agencies.
Correct? Mr. Chair, Representative Ocking, yes, I believe that is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Secretary,
Mr. Chair, Representative Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ted, what was that other statute that you just referenced? Could you repeat that, please?
Yes. It is 297.210.
Ted, I have a question. When I read Section 2 of Article 4, the last sentence in there says, he shall be, by virtue of his office, auditor of public accounts, and shall perform such other duties as shall be assigned him by law. I'm not an attorney, but my interpretation of that is the legislature shall giveth, and the legislature shall have the ability to take it away.
Mr. Chair, that is true to some extent. What is clear is that the constitutional authority for the Secretary to be the auditor is self-executing. In other words, it's there regardless of what the legislature does. The Secretary has that authority if you have no auditing statutes on the books whatsoever.
By authority, I just want to be real clear on this. The Secretary of State has the ability to define what auditor of public accounts entails.
No, not necessarily. What the Secretary has is the authority to be the auditor of public accounts. And as I said, there are no court decisions that say what that means. There are only Attorney General opinions. So right now, the Secretary is considered to have the authority as described in the Attorney General opinions, and that authority is to do financial/fiscal audits. The second sentence of that constitutional section allows the legislature to give the Secretary additional duties, to give the Secretary the authority to conduct performance audits, program audits, management audits, which the legislature has done currently in Chapter 297, working with the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
When the legislature statutorily created performance measures, it gave that responsibility over to the Secretary of State for to audit those performance measures?
Mr. Chair, I believe the answer is yes, because 297.070 and 065 direct the Secretary to do performance auditing at the direction of the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. Yes.
So, and again, I'm not an attorney, but I just want to logically walk through this. And wouldn't it make sense that the legislature would have the ability to say, now we want to have a different body responsible for those assignments?
Mr. Chair, yes, that's exactly what House Bill 2001 is attempting to do, is to shift that performance auditing function from the Secretary of State's office to a new legislative office.
You bet. Representative Avakian.
If, and we're getting into areas you haven't had the chance to prepare for, and we completely understand that, and these are some of the most complex areas of constitutional law, so if you don't know, certainly say so. If this bill were to pass and the Secretary of State were divested of some of its authority to do these performance audits, but, for instance, the governor wanted a particular audit done of an agency that included performance audits, could the governor, by executive order, grant authority to the Secretary of State in order to perform those types of audits, even absent a financial audit? Under the Constitution, would that be a granting of authority that would be permissible?
Mr. Chair, if in Novakian, you're right. I haven't had time to prepare for that. I would think that the governor, the executive branch, would have certain authority to audit itself at the direction of the governor. However, I think, especially if this bill were to pass, I think there would probably be a legal issue raised by the governor directing the secretary by executive order to do this when the legislature has specifically transferred the function to the legislative branch. Other than that, I'm reluctant to say much more before having a chance to really think about your question.
But just in case you happen to be looking into it more, let me develop my thought a little bit more. The legislature is adopting certain duties for itself under House Bill 2001. But under a separation of powers theory, does not the executive branch still retain some of its own ability to define its own authority with regard to its own agencies? And therefore, the divesting of authority by the legislative branch does not maybe preclude the executive branch from creating its own with respect to its own agencies. Did I state that well enough for you
yes.
to follow?
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative, it's a very interesting question. And it does raise certain separation of powers issues, first because the Secretary is specifically given at least financial auditing authority under the Constitution. If this bill were to pass, clearly another function of auditing would be given to the legislative branch. So you would have two branches of government involved in auditing. Under separation of powers, if the executive branch then wanted to get into performance auditing, you in theory could argue that that would be a separation of powers argument because that function has been given to the legislature by statute. So it would be really a question of the extent to which the general undefined authority of the executive branch to look at its own functions conflicts with the statutory direction the legislature has provided. I'm not sure that's a very helpful answer.
No, I think it's a helpful answer. And it seems to me, and I don't know that any of the Attorney General opinions provide any analysis between Article 6, Section 2 regarding the duties of the Secretary of State under what looks to be a legislative, implied legislative authority that's granted, and what would be a separation of powers theory that allows the Secretary of State to limit the legislative branch in some manner, or the governor's office to limit the legislative branch, which also then gets you into an analysis of the relationship between the Secretary of State and the governor within the executive branch, which is somewhat unique in the state of Oregon. And House Bill 2001 simply, in my mind, raises those types of questions that I don't think we have an answer to in court decisions or Attorney General opinions.
Mr. Chair of Senevakin, you're correct, and I've read all of the Attorney General's opinions, and I do not believe that separation of powers was a major issue that was discussed in any of them. They were mostly about the extent of the Secretary's constitutional authority and explanations of how the Attorney General got to a decision defining that authority as limited to financial and fiscal audits.
That's a quick question. When we talk about the responsibility of the Secretary of State, is there an implication that we then must create a budget line item that satisfactorily meets the Secretary of State's needs to conduct their financial responsibilities? What if this body underfunds that line in the Secretary of State's budget? Then what happens?
Mr. Chair, that's a very good question. The Secretary does, as I said, have pretty much unlimited authority to conduct financial audits. I would assume that if the legislature does not appropriate enough money to the Secretary for the Secretary to fulfill that duty, that the Secretary would have to come visit the Emergency Board to request additional funds to carry out that responsibility.
Help me here, just really quick. On the one hand, you have unlimited authority to conduct. On the other hand, you have the legislature who creates the budgetary line item to fund that activity. What happens if you come to an impasse?
Mr. Chair, I'm not exactly sure of the answer, but I would assume that if the Secretary does not have the resources to conduct the audits that the Secretary believes are necessary, that those audits simply would not be conducted.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let's try this again, Mr. Secretary of State. Come on up. Welcome.
I'm being joined this morning, with your permission, by Chuck Hibner, our deputy auditor in the Audits Division.
Welcome.
And
thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here this morning. To be before you this morning.
It's our honor to have you here.
And, unfortunately, I'm here to oppose a bill, hopefully I can shed a little light on this rather weighty discussion. I want to start by, there were a couple issues that the speaker raised that I just want to touch on. One is, I think you're all aware, or many of you, I'm sure, are aware of a recent Associated Press story that the speaker and I had a brief conversation about that basically was I think you've all had this happen to you. A reporter decides a story and writes it no matter what you say. So basically was creating the impression that this was a sort of a retribution for my prior actions. I want to assure you I didn't say that. I do not believe that. I believe very strongly, having been a legislator, that there is a very legitimate interest in the audit function in the legislature. And I fully recognize, having been a member of the National Conference of State Legislators, that there are a number of states that do in fact have legislative audit functions. There are also a number of states that do not have a constitution that is written the way ours is written. And that, in essence, is the issue here. So we heard discussion this morning about the territorial statutes that were then incorporated into the Constitution. And basically, if you look at the territorial statutes, they stated that the auditor of public accounts should, and I quote the territorial statutes now, prepare and report such plans as he may deem expedient for the support of public credit, for lessening the public expenses, for using the public money to the best advantage. This is, I'm quoting the statute, for promoting frugality and economy in public offices, and generally for the better management and more perfect understanding of the fiscal affairs of the territory. Now, that was the territorial statute governing the auditor of public accounts. Then,
Mr. Secretary, would you be able to get us a copy of that?
I certainly can get you a copy of that. It's not included in the Attorney General's letter.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And then in 1857, the Oregon Constitution was adopted, and it was incorporating the duties defined in the territorial statutes that I just read you in Article 6, Section 2 of the Constitution. States very clearly the Secretary of State shall be, by virtue of his office, auditor of public accounts. And that was defined in the territorial statutes, and the people who wrote the Constitution knew what the territorial statutes provided. So, but the reality is that despite the clarity of the Constitution, secretaries of state in the past and in the future are going to be defending against efforts to remove auditing from the office in which it is originally and constitutionally vested. So let me just take you through a couple of examples, because this has been a completely bipartisan kind of an issue. It's not like Republicans want to take away Democrats' power and nothing. I mean, it's been completely, so you go back to 1962, Republican Secretary Howell Appling asked Democratic Attorney General Robert Thornton if some other office could be granted auditing authority. The answer in Attorney General Opinion number 5378 was no. The opinion goes on to say that where the Constitution creates an office and prescribes the duties thereof, the office cannot be abolished nor the constitutional duties thereof abridged by the legislature. So that was one. Then in 79, Republican Secretary of State Norma Paulus asked Democratic Attorney General James Redden if the legislature was permitted to delegate any aspect of the audit function, including performance audits, to any other branch of state government. The answer in Attorney General Opinion number 7759 was no. The opinion goes on to say that both historically and fundamentally, the Office of State Auditor was created and exists for the basic purpose of having a completely independent representative of the people, accountable to no one else, with the power, duty, and authority to examine and pass upon the activities of state officers and agencies who, by law, receive and expend public money. So then in 1984, Republican Attorney General Dave Frohnmayer answered similar questions from Democratic Secretary of State Barbara Roberts. And the reality is, though the parties have changed on both sides, the answers that have come from the Attorney General in response to questions from Secretary of States of all stripes is the same. And so now, in 2005, we've got House Bill 2001, which seeks to assign an audit function to a new legislative office. My office has again sought what I would call redundant information from Attorney General Hardy Myers, and you all have a copy of that memo, which is really a summary of all of the opinions. And his office, Hardy Myers' office, affirmed the sole constitutional authority of the Secretary of State's office to conduct audits. And all of you have a copy of that memo. So I would just ask you to really absorb that information. You know, I just want to say again, I was a legislator. I understand the interest in the audit function, I think I would say that there is something that makes Oregon unique, and that is that we have a very clear constitutional provision. I would say that it makes a huge amount of sense for the legislature and the budget process to create what we call performance measures for, that's been part of your process this time, is to have performance measures. And it certainly makes sense for you to be having staff evaluate what's happening with those performance measures. That's completely legitimate, okay? And I would just emphasize that tracking on performance measures is not performance auditing. And that, I think there's a way for all of us to work really well together here. I don't think there's this big, huge division. I totally respect the interest of the legislature in tracking the money that they're spending. And I think it's real clear in our Constitution that the Secretary of State is the auditor of public accounts. So thank you for the time. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
Really appreciate that testimony. Representative Kroc.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, is it your view that the legislature cannot establish a mirror function of auditing on their own?
It's my view, but my view is completely informed by the Attorney General's opinions that I just gave to you, which say over and over that it's not appropriate for the legislature to create a separate audit function from that of the Secretary of State. I'm just saying that because that's what the Attorney Generals have said repeatedly.
And again, Mr. Chairman,
follow up.
And you would also readily acknowledge that there is no case law that determines whether the Attorney General's opinions are accurate.
I would absolutely acknowledge that there are no court cases clearly defining the powers, duties, authorities of the Secretary of State. It is all from Attorney General's opinions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, a thought was shared with me that several years ago the legislative branch had an auditor, and then when former Senator Frank Roberts was co-chair, that responsibility was passed on to the Secretary of State. Do you have any historical background on that?
You know, I've been scratching my head about that because I was in the legislature during that time period, and I know we had an interest in auditing, but I just honestly do not remember whether there was ever a position called legislative auditor, and I know nothing about what happened to it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Representative Avakian.
And actually, Mr. Secretary, for you or Mr. Hidner, if you think it's more appropriately answered by him, as the exclusive, if the Attorney General is correct that you are the exclusive auditor of public accounts, then why is it proper, if you think it is, for the Ways and Means Committee to even exist, or for us to be doing performance measures? What's the difference between the function that we have historically done in that regard and the one that you do?
It is absolutely, I'm going to answer part of this and then I'm going to hand it over to Chuck, but it is absolutely, I mean, the role of the Ways and Means Committee is absolutely critical. You appropriate the money. I mean, and you can decide not to appropriate any money to the Secretary of State, and that would be that. I mean, you, that's your authority. Let's be real clear. I mean, that, so it seems to me that given that you have that authority, and that's the whole balance of powers issue here, you have that authority, and you certainly have the ability to track whether your expenditures are being made as you have said they should be. I mean, there's no question about that. You have the ability. You set up in your budget process some performance measures. You have the ability to go see whether those performance measures are being met. And legislative fiscal staff constantly is in discussion with agencies to say, well, what's this? I mean, how does that relate to what the last budget committee said? I mean, that's obviously part of your authority. Now, it seems to me that what we need to really start to understand is that there is a fundamental difference between that kind of tracking performance measures, and auditing. And I would let my expert auditor sitting next to me take it from there.
Mr. Chair, again, Chuck Hibner, Deputy State Auditor for the Audits Division, and Representative Ivanki, and Dan, it's a part of your question anyway. I would say that the performance measures is a relatively new phenomenon where we're continually evolving, trying to develop those good performance measures and benchmarks for agencies. And certainly that ties directly to the budget process, and that's something we consider when we're doing performance audits in terms of trying to understand an agency, kind of their mission, the sorts of things they're trying to accomplish. So those are something that at some point someone's going to want to make sure that they're good measures, that the data is valid, and that it's usable information, that the information is coming back to the legislature that's good information. Performance auditing considers that aspect of an agency's program, performance auditing is looking really at economy and efficiency issues and program issues. That's how it's defined in our Yellow Book Bible that comes from the GAO, sorry for the acronym, and that's how it's defined. We're looking at economy and efficiency issues, and those fiscal ties that relate to economy and efficiency issues. So performance measures are a part of that, but performance auditing in and of itself is a little broader than that.
Let me ask a question here. Earlier, as the speaker was coming in, you know, she shared a thought that this wasn't political. You shared the thought that you don't see this as political, and I truly believe both those comments are genuine. What then strikes me is that the core of this issue is how do we get timely information that's relevant to the legislature to make its financial decisions? And somehow, and please know I'm a novice when it comes to the auditing function conducted by the Secretary of State and how LFO uses that information. But obviously there's a disconnect here that's generated this bill. How do we bridge that disconnect?
I'm going to answer part of that, and I'm once again going to pass it to Mr. Hibner. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I think when we're doing performance audits or audits, we don't do every agency every 2 years. You have a responsibility, you and your staff have a responsibility to track budgets every 2 years. An audit, my view of a performance audit is it's a really much fuller look at, okay, what are the goals of this agency, what are they trying to do, and what ways can we recommend to them that they could accomplish those goals that the legislature has set for them in a more efficient and effective way. That's what a performance audit's about. That it strikes me that sure you'd like to know that, as and we certainly share that with the legislature, and can we do one? But the reality is you can't do that level of auditing on every agency every year, and so you need to have some specific measures that you're looking at that are budgetary measures that people can can get information on and realistically get information on those measures for your budgetary purposes.
May I add to your question before it goes over to Mr. Hippner, who I think is going to need to jump in just a minute? I'm looking, for instance, at the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners, which we reviewed earlier, and going to the performance measures, and the information is organized as we have directed to give us what the goal of the performance measure is linked to, including a description of what the board's mission is. And then by our own rules and protocol both, we're to take the board's mission, the goals, and the measures related to those goals and combine that with what is kind of like a financial audit, a tracking of the money, to decide what we're going to give to the agency. Sounds awfully similar to what you do. But I'm guessing that what you do is in much greater specificity or broader in some way. And so what I'm looking for is maybe a more specific description, Mr. Hibner, on what you do that we don't in this regard specifically.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ivaki, and I think probably the easiest way to expand on that would be to say that after we would look at something like that, we would look at the services that were being delivered and get into the economy efficiency of how they're delivering their services, looking at the programs, looking at the processes that are in place, and how they're utilizing their resources to deliver those services, and come back with some recommendations as to how they might improve those delivery mechanisms if, you know, they're available.
So let me follow up on that, and perhaps we could just continue to build on this thought. Who do you report those back to? Those findings back to?
Mr. Chair, back to the agencies. They're hopefully the best users of that information, but our standards require that we offer that information publicly as well in a public report that the agency has a chance to respond to.
You folks come and sit down with LFO and walk through your findings, so as they're crafting a budget, they're able to take the good information you've garnered and match it up with the budget that within 18 months, once again, they'll be crafting.
Mr. Chair, that would probably be a great question for LFO. I know we certainly offer that information. We have regular meetings. We try to get with them every so often, quarterly, as we're doing our audit scanning process to determine what audits we may want to do in the next little bit. We try to apprise them. They're on our listserv when we send out a report, so they certainly know what it is we're issuing out there, and we're available and have offered explanations as to what an audit report may mean, either in a committee setting or one-on-one as the need arises. This is also one of those areas that we're trying to continue to develop. We've realized the shortcomings in our relationship with legislative fiscal, and we're trying to develop mechanisms to both share more information about what we're doing within the confines of an audit. While audit work is going on, there's not a lot we can share, but we can certainly share the methodology, what our objective is, those sorts of things. And we try to keep them as aware as to what it is we're doing and what we're trying to achieve, so when the audit results are released, LFO would be aware of what it is we're
doing. It seems like there ought to be a process in which when the results are achieved, when the final report is written, that it's not just distributed, but there's a sit-down meeting, if you will, and legislative fiscal, legislative council, members of key legislative committees ought to be invited to sit around that table to receive the feedback that has been developed by you folks. So that way, we're just not garnering good information, but we're garnering good information and then utilizing it for the betterment of Oregon. Again, this is our first day on this bill, and if I'm speculating, I apologize to anyone that's out in the audience, but it seems like part of this discussion is because there's a disconnect there.
Mr. Chair, I would not disagree. There are times when we sit down on a particular issue of particular importance and we have those type of exchanges, but the more interest there is in the work we do, of course, the more we like it. It's just affirmation to us that the information is important.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Let me describe with some specificity one of the functions that I've been a part of on the Ways and Means Committee and Budget Committee, and let's see how it compares to what you would do when you were describing the efficiency analysis that you would do within an agency. I took a visit out to the OLCC, and we discussed their budget, we discussed their FTEs, and then I walked personally with one of their staff people on a job duty, so that I saw when a call came in from one of their investigators how she got up from her seat, walked across a room, opened a card file catalog, pulled a card, went back to the desk, called the investigator, and then related that information in my own mind to the number of FTEs that they had, how much it was costing, whether or not that was the most efficient way for them to perform a duty. It's hard for me to understand how you would get into any greater detail in evaluating the efficiency within an agency than what I just described as my role on the Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vakian, OLCC is a good example because we did do some audit work in there a few years ago, a performance audit. You know, we're a part of the control environment, as are you, as is agency management. If you were to ask me who's responsible for ensuring that resources are being properly applied, I'd tell you it's the agency manager, you know, the agency director as probably the first line of that. And then, you know, we come in afterwards. We're just trying to again, provide assurances that things are as they appear. This particular OLCC, when we went into OLCC, I believe it was in 98, we did our assessment, and we looked at both the way they were doing their enforcement program and their delivery program to their stores. When we were done, we came away with some recommendations on how they were managing their inventory. And just by simply reducing their inventory, I think it was $1.5 million worth of savings were available. So at that level, we can do the sort of analysis just in terms of programs, how they're delivering services, and maybe not get down to the level you're talking about, just because we're a small agency and that may not be on our radar screen, something that we can provide the best value for. Maybe, maybe not, but certainly those sort of efficiencies are important to garner as they're available.
That's even more interesting. May I? That's even more interesting because at least that example, then we may be operating in sometimes at a greater level of specificity with an agency than you, which to me poses an interesting question, because in House Bill 2001, we're really evaluating in some ways the legal authority of your office to do certain things. Whereas in the description that I just came up with, it makes me wonder whether or not it's the legislative branch that is going beyond its authority in its specificity of auditing state agencies. So I'm not exactly sure where the line gets drawn on who has the authority to do what. Certainly, if you are the exclusive auditor, and that exclusivity relates to your ability to do an analysis of the efficiencies at a very detailed level within state agencies, and that is exclusive to you, then I wonder about what our authority, the bounds of our authority really is. Now, this issue of performance measures that we've delved into this session more than I think any other, we do in order to gauge whether or not the money that we're giving is being used in its most efficient and appropriate manner. But it begs the question, and maybe legislative council will need to address this at some point, about whether or not the imposition of a performance measure puts us into your exclusive authority rather than what you're doing going beyond it. I don't know that I need you to comment on that, but legislative intent is very important with a bill like this, and more questions are coming up in my mind as to where the line gets drawn between our two branches of government when we start talking about the efficiencies that each of us are looking for and at what detail it's appropriate for each of us to look.
Mr. Chair, Representative Vakian, if I might, you know, audit means something very specific to us. You know, we've got standards that we need to follow in order to be even call it an audit. If someone were to go out and do some sort of review of benchmarks or performance measures or those sorts of things, the level of detail that is allowable, you know, would probably depend upon the authority of that particular branch. But to us, audits mean something very specific.
How many folks do you have within the audits division?
Our FTE count, I believe, is 71.
How many are dedicated to doing performance audits?
Mr. Chair, that's a little difficult question because we are a small office and we've got a lot of work to do. In terms of strictly dedicated, I don't know that we would say anybody is specifically dedicated to performance auditing. We've got some folks in there that's primarily what they do, but at any given time they may be summoned away to do some financial audit work, some federal compliance work, or whatever. You know, in order for us to be efficient, because of the way our financial work tends to peak, when we're ready to go and we need staff, you know, everybody's really fair game.
How do you? I'm looking at the priority sheet that the legislature created, the Ways and Means process, and we have performance audits prioritized as high, meaning we see it as important. How do you deal with that issue, knowing that we're saying this is of high importance, and yet we're not sure we have dedicated staff to conducting those performance audits in a manner when we need them?
Mr. Chair, here's what I think you need to understand. We have about 70, 75 auditors, and they spend all of them. We have to do every year, we have to do a federal compliance audit in order to continue to get federal money. So we're talking about $12 billion of federal money that is dependent on passing the audit test.
Okay.
That audit is a huge workload issue, so that basically all of our audit staff spends some of their time on that federal compliance audit. I think that's correct to say. Basically. And so you have some people who their primary focus is performance audits, but the reality is you need everybody to get the statewide audit completed in a timely manner so that we can continue to get federal money. So that's kind of that raises an interesting issue. If you take some of our auditors to do some of what you're talking about doing, but performance auditing, well, the interesting question is, how do we continue to get the auditing done that all of us depend on to continue to get federal money? Because the reality is, we use virtually everybody in the shop for a couple of months every year to do that audit, and then there's free time to do other audits like performance audits. So
it seems like we have a bottleneck there, because while the Secretary of State's office has a high demand at a certain period of time,
right,
that might coincide at the same time that the President of the Senate is requesting certain information and needs it, or the Speaker of the House. And the fact is, there's only so many folks and only so many hours in the day.
Right.
And it seems like there would be a bottleneck there, an issue to address.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, yeah, you've got two competing high-priority items. And, you know, by saying virtually everybody's fair game, but there is a percentage of staff who are working on a performance audit, you know, during that same time, or two or three or four.
Monica.
I just wanted to clarify to your point, Mr. Chair, when you were talking about communication between the legislature and the Audits Division. As you're aware, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee meets during the interim. One of the provisions of this bill that's also been discussed last session and could take another form is to have that committee continue to meet as session is going on, to keep up year-round coordination between either the Audits Division or, in the case of this bill, the Legislative Audit Office, to work through these types of issues to make sure that communication is ongoing.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just if I could add a comment, I am strongly supportive of that provision. And the reason I am strongly supportive is that we really want to work closely with the legislature on auditing. And one of the problems is, you know, if you have an interim committee that only exists in the interim, and maybe people haven't gotten around to the presiding officers, haven't gotten around to appointing members. So the last interim, the session went until August, and my memory is the audits committee wasn't up and running until, I'm going to say, January.
Yes, after the first year.
So you then, and then you're in, we all know we're in an election year, right? So that, to me, that provision, I think, is just an absolutely, it would be just great to make it a permanent, or whatever the right word is, permanent or standing committee would be just superb.
And I think the bill the current provision allows the Joint Legislative Audit Committee may meet during session, just as practice. It has not been appointed, and this bill would make it a shall meet and changes the composition of what is appointed to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, Representative.
I have a question for Ted Reitlinger, if you could bring him back up, please.
Okay, why don't we do that? Thank you very much. It's been our honor to have you here before our committee. Thank you. Ted, why don't you come on up, and while you're coming up, we have another distinguished guest with us in Representative Crummell, and we're going to ask if he'll come up as well. And we have 15 more minutes, and so we'll take a quick question for Ted, and then we're going to have the remaining time with Chair Crummell.
Maybe two for Ted, if that's okay.
Two for Ted. Okay, I'm gonna try and keep our time to Ted under 3 minutes.
I have two questions.
Okay. Representative Crummell.
Ted, is it your view that it is unconstitutional for the legislature to establish parallel performance auditing functions?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, do you mean by your question that the law would leave the Secretary of State's performance auditing function the way it is and then establish a legislative performance auditing function as well?
That is correct.
I think that would not be unconstitutional based upon the Attorney General's opinion, which say that the and I feel like a broken record here, that the performance auditing function is not part of the independent performance auditing, is not necessarily part of the Secretary of State's constitutional authority.
Okay, Mr. Follow Chair. Up. So let me ask that question a slightly different way now. God, I'm almost sounding a lawyer. This is really ugly. Just kidding.
Congratulations, sir.
Now, if I could only receive remuneration commensurate to an attorney's fees. Is it your view that it is unconstitutional for the legislature to establish a performance auditing function and remove the Secretary of State's performance auditing functions that it granted originally?
Mr. Chair, the answer is yes, with some qualifications.
Yes, it is unconstitutional?
No, it would be constitutional, we believe, respectfully, as contained in this bill. However, as I said earlier, the legislature may not restrict the Secretary of State's authority to conduct financial audits, and that includes their authority to get into issues of performance, efficiency, et cetera, as they see fit in the context of a financial audit. So that's the qualification.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Representative Abakian.
Along the same lines, the Attorney General opinion, forgotten which one, but that concludes that the Secretary of State is the exclusive auditor of public accounts. The term exclusive is not found in the Constitution. It's not found in any court cases. The Attorney General is inferring that from other statements relative to the office. Let's relate to that the Attorney General's opinion that says that we don't have the authority to limit the scope of their auditing ability, nor can we delegate it. By delegate, and my first question to you, by delegate, I assume that means to take from and place somewhere else.
Mr. Chair, and Vakin, yes.
Okay. Therefore, along the lines of Representative Krupp's questioning, allowing the Secretary of State to continue with its current statutory and constitutional authority and setting up the same type of authority within the legislative branch would be permissible.
Mr. Chair, Representative Avakian, I believe so.
And if you would, reconcile that with the use of the Attorney General's opinion using the word exclusive.
Mr. Chair, Representative Avakian, the term exclusive, I believe, is properly used when describing the financial and fiscal auditing authority of the Secretary. The crux of the issue here is how far does the Secretary's authority extend? These opinions seem to say that it is exclusive with respect to financial auditing. It's clear the legislature may not restrict that.
Mr. Chair, I won't ask any more questions along these lines, but what I would request is that if we get to the point of doing a work session on House Bill 2001, I would like more information from auditing professionals on what a financial audit is and what a performance or efficiency-based audit is.
Very good to have that definition.
And then some analysis with respect to what we do within the legislature and how it fits that definition.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate your time. Colleagues, it's our honor to have Representative Crummell before us. He's chair of the Audits Committee in the House, and from one member's perspective, does a fabulous job. So, Chair Crummell, welcome to the Subcommittee on General Government and Transportation and Economic Development.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. For the record, State Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 26, which is Wilsonville, Sherwood, and over to Gaston. I've been quite interested in the conversations and discussion this morning about House Bill 2001. As chair of the Audits Committee, we had House Bill 2001 in our committee and then referred it, of course, to the House Budget Committee once we were done with it. So what you have before you is the A and Gross version, which is what we had produced out of the Audits Committee. This bill produced quite a bit of discussion within our within the Audits Committee as well. One of the things that I would like to recognize and I'm glad to see in that is that both the Speaker and the Secretary of State have stated and let it be known that this is not about partisan politics. I was very refreshed to hear the Secretary of State mention the fact that he did not make those comments to the reporter and that that was something that the reporter must have come up with on his own relative to this being retaliatory because of redistricting. My only response, I guess, would be that if anybody thinks that this is retaliatory, then for something that happened 4 years ago, they need to get over it. We're on to other things now. The one of the things that came up quite a bit in the discussion before the Audits Committee, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, I would just point out were the varying attorney general's opinions. And one of the things that I would point out is that in I believe this was in a response to Gregory McMurdo from the attorney general in 1983 at page 4, one of the things that it says is that there's and this is taken directly from the page. It's the second principle is that the Secretary of State has no constitutional responsibility with respect to the efficiency and good judgment with which agencies carry out their statutory functions, unless these bear a relationship to fiscal accountability. On that same page, it also states, and this is with regards to the question about the Secretary of State and the constitutional authority, it says, she is, however, without constitutional authority to audit state agencies for the purpose of determining how efficiently they carry out their functions. In another AG's opinion, from 1979, at page, it's out of opinions of the Attorney General, and this is the one May 22, 1979, and this is from James Redden when he was the Attorney General. At page 702, it states, in short, the legislature cannot diminish the Secretary of State's responsibility to determine fiscal accountability, but it goes on to say that although the Secretary of State has no constitutional authority to audit state agencies for the purposes of determining how efficiently they carry out their functions, she cannot be deprived of authority to examine such matters to the extent she is reasonably determined determines this is necessary to enable her to determine fiscal accountability. So in that respect, both the Attorney General's opinions are relatively the same, but they also point out that the Secretary of State, basically by law, we can let them know what should be said, or let them know what we want them to do in that respect. It also...
I'm going to go to Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Crummell, would you restate the basic points out of both of those Attorney General's opinions as I'm trying to copy it down here and understand it?
Okay, and I'd be glad to
provide what the conclusions are. Thank you. I would appreciate that.
But what it states is that while the legislature cannot diminish the Secretary of State's responsibility to determine fiscal accountability, the Secretary of State has no constitutional authority to audit state agencies for the purpose of determining how efficiently they carry out their functions. But she cannot be deprived of the authority, or he cannot be deprived of the authority, to examine such matters. And the other one was that that the Secretary of State is, and this is the letter to McMurdo in 1983, that the Secretary of State is without constitutional authority to audit state agencies for the purpose of determining how efficiently they carry out their functions. They're in agreement in that respect.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Crummell's, both those opinions are the years again. Are
the first one that I read from is June 30th, 1983, and the where I was stating from is at page 4, and then the second one is James Redden in on May 22nd, 1979. And it's at page 702 from the opinions of the Attorney General of the State of Oregon.
Thank you.
So basically, Mr. Chair, I guess what I would like to drive at is that House Bill 2001 does not take any attempt to take any kind of authority away from the Secretary of State's office from the standpoint of what their constitutional authority is. Secondly, is that the legislature sets the budget, and the legislature adopts performance measures. I don't believe that the legislature should abdicate the responsibility for measuring the results of what we expect from the budget and from the performance measures back to the executive branch. And that's, in essence, what we do currently. And House Bill 2001 pulls that back under the legislature so that we're not, in fact, abdicating that to the executive branch, but are looking at it from our own perspective. As was brought up earlier, Oregon is one of a handful of states that does not have performance audits of some sort within its own legislative branch. And I believe that the bill brings performance measures with the budgeting where it belongs, under the auspices of the legislative branch of government. Does not mean that we would not work, of course, with the executive branch. I think that's absolutely imperative. It does not mean that we won't work with the judicial branch, but because that's absolutely imperative. But I think that from the standpoint of knowing that we are getting our money's worth, if you will, and feel like there is a real connection between the performance of the agencies and how they utilize the money and what the goals that have been set out, in statute by the agencies, and then how that is evaluated by the legislative branch, I think makes, to me, it just makes a lot of sense. That's like saying, for example, in my particular office, leaving it to somebody else is that, I'll let Representative Lavakian evaluate my staff as to whether or not my staff is doing the job that I want them to do based on what I told them to do. That wouldn't make sense to have Representative Lavakian do that. Nice guy, but he doesn't necessarily understand the inner workings of my office. So I think that advocating that back to the executive branch is it does create the missteps, and it does create the disconnect that we had discussed earlier.
Mr. Chair,
and I'll conclude there, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your testimony, Representative Avakian.
I appreciate Representative Crummell, your perspective very much on that. I'd like to offer another thought for the committee to consider, and that would be that there are three branches of government with checks and balances on each other for specific reasons, and that may be the example that the representative gave us of me doing an evaluation of somebody in his office or something like that. There might actually be room for that to be appropriate, in that the legislative branch creates policy, but it does not implement policy. The executive branch is the branch that implements. The judicial branch then makes sure that both the authority that's being implemented within the other two branches is legal, is constitutional, and that maybe the parameters of our job really is to figure out where the money goes, be held accountable by the public for doing that properly, but that the executive branch maybe has the greater authority to make sure that it is being implemented in a proper fashion, and that they too then have to answer to the public and whether or not they're doing that properly. So I think there's room for discussion by this committee as to how far our authority really does go in holding accountable the implementation part of state government, as opposed to just the creation of policy of state government. And I think at some point our whole reform of auditing and ways and means knocks heads with that question. And unfortunately for us, we don't have court decisions and we don't have clear constitutional dictate that define that. And so I would look forward to your good work, Representative Crummell, during the interim, if you are on the performing an audits function then, to be sorting through some of those issues along with the Secretary of State's and the Attorney General's office.
Mr. Chairman, that if I may, that argument also extends to another area in regards to the implementation, the separation of powers issue, and that is administrative rulemaking. It would be my opinion that since the legislature grants by statute to state agencies under the executive branch the ability to write administrative rules, that the legislature, which under Attorney General's opinions cannot change those rules without statutory changes. Okay, so if an agency writes rules, that's the executive branch writing that. We can't tell them you must change your rule. We have to do that in the form of statutory changes to make that happen because of that constitutional argument. So then, if in this context of this bill, if the legislature has the power to grant to the Secretary of State's office certain performance auditing functions, and the legislature can remove that function, cannot the legislature remove the rule writing authority of state agencies since we granted it to them by statute? Does that same argument not apply, that we could bring it back and write those rules ourselves?
Might, you know, and I think we should promise that we're not
going
to halt.
One last question, and then we're going to.
It's not a question. I was just
going to
say, I think we should promise not to halt head back in here and ask those questions today, is all I was going to say.
Well, colleagues, we've had good discussion, and I want to continue to move forward. We have one last witness who's going to speak before today, and he's come from over 100 miles away, and I apologize for having to wait, but looks like we have Ed Johnson. Come on up.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I didn't know we had anything coming up. I thought we were done.
No. Chair Crummell, we truly really appreciate your leadership on this issue and appreciate the good work you've done on this and the good comments you've shared with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Ed Johnson, Toledo, Oregon. And, I'm finished reading it, but I get frustrated that way. I'm one of those people that did a recall in Lincoln County School Board 2.5 years ago throughout the entire school board. Because of their financial problems, and I still like the investigation or possible indictment audit, because we had a lot of money that we found and we had to trace almost to the bank account. But taking away powers, and I have to agree with Representative Croft, then that should go to every agency. You know, I mean, there's things that I don't like what happens in the government, and believe me, I speak against it, but then again, I do have to respect the system that we have in place. And that's hard for me to say at times, but I have to admit that. So before we do drastic changes, I believe that, as Representative Kraft said, it needs to be legislative statute done so that way it is correctly done. If we start doing it that way, this way. We present a lot of other problems to ourselves, and we should not do that to ourselves. That's what I'd like to say on that.
Thank you very much. Well, colleagues, we're at the end of our testimony for House Bill 2001. I truly appreciate the good discussion we've had. I appreciate the leadership on behalf of the Secretary of State and the Speaker's office. This has been good. I want to point out, before we proceed forward, I would like to have information relating to the fiscal impacts this is going to have. This is a budget committee, and I'd like to make sure we address that issue as well. So, seeing no other items before us today, we are going to adjourn.
Jeff.
Thank you. Yes.
Nicely done. Very good discussion.
Thank you. It's one I'd like to explore further because it relates to this continuing conflict we've had for many years about when the legislature establishes.